Well, if you were here with us 2 weeks ago, I wrote a message about survival God's way. And this is our Mother's Day edition, okay? Because mothers have to survive. And if you're not a mother yet, we have a couple single ladies here. Someday, God willing, you'll be a mother and you have to learn how to survive God's way. This applies to all people, of course. As I said last time, survival is our number one instinct. It's what motivates us to do almost all things, whether it be in a business or a marriage relationship or for our very lives. Remember, Moses fled from before the snake. Abraham had Sarah lie and say that she was not his wife but his sister. Esau trying to survive. What good does my birthright do me? I'm about to die. He despised his birthright in order to survive. Noah's descendants said we must build a name, make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered across the face of the earth. So they built a tower called Babel. David took Goliath's sword as he was fleeing from King Saul and his many attempts to kill him, ended up riding with the Philistines. Peter, thinking of Jesus' survival and his own, rebuked Jesus, tried to keep him from going to the cross. So how do we survive? I brought out last time, we survive like the prodigal son, who is not surviving. You can't survive long on pig food. You can't survive long in that condition unless you're a pig. He said, I perish with hunger, but I go to my Father. I go to my Father. So in order to survive God's way, we have to go to our Father, our Heavenly Father, to His Word. And in Matthew 16, after Jesus told Peter to get behind me, for you do not savor the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, give up his self, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, whoever puts their physical, mortal survival first, will perish. But whoever loses his life, for my sake, shall find it. Peter, you savor the things of men, and what are those things? Survival, life. We look to our Heavenly Father for the answer to surviving this life, which can be very wicked and hazardous. Take therefore no anxious thought, said Jesus, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what you shall be clothed with. This is Matthew 6, 32, 33. These are the basics for survival. For after all these things do the nations seek, for your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God. Seek His kingdom first. Seek His righteousness first. Seek righteous living first. Seek the righteousness that is in Christ first. And all these things shall be added unto you. Today I want to share with you about five mothers who survived. And we concluded last time that we can only survive by faith in the Lord Jesus. Only by faith in His grace. Only by faith in the cross. We want to look at five mothers today who had things to survive, not necessarily physical hazards, though there were some, but spiritual hazards, emotions, sorrows of heart. And we go to the first mother, who is called the mother of all living, and that's Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. A mother of all living, wife of Adam. God said to her, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in conception. I will greatly multiply your sorrow in giving birth. They had sorrow, but I will multiply it. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. So children, do you see yourself as bringing sorrow to your mothers? We don't think about that too much, right? But this was not her greatest sorrow. Her greatest pain was not giving birth to a number of children. We know three sons by name, Cain, Abel, and Seth, but the Bible also says she had other sons and daughters. We don't know how many. This was not the greatest sorrow that she had in giving birth, because soon that is forgotten. There was a greater sorrow that she needed to survive. One that probably never left her all the days of her life. I wouldn't doubt it if her children came to her and said, "Mom, how come this world is so messed up? Why is there evil everywhere, Mom?" And I think Eve had to hang her head in shame because she was responsible for all the world's chaos. "Mom, how come people die? How come people get sick? How come there are wild beasts here that would eat us alive when in the garden they were docile and tame? Why, Mom, what's happened?" "Well, son, daughter, I bear the guilt. The serpent beguiled me and I did eat. I gave to my husband, your father." I think Eve's greatest sorrow that she had to endure and survive was the guilt and the shame she must have felt every day in her life. But I see as I read the scripture that Eve had faith, and only by faith can we survive. And mothers, perhaps you've done something that you feel guilty of. We have no perfect mothers here, do we? Even my wife comes close to it. I had to. She wrote it in my notes here. No, she didn't. Mothers, have you ever done anything to stumble a child? Or something you didn't do? Didn't love enough? Didn't bring them up in the fear, admonition of the Lord? Have you done anything shameful in your past? And if your children find out about, they blush. You're afraid to tell them. The only way to overcome those feelings of, "I failed as a mother, I failed as a parent," is by faith. That God works everything out well. The Bible says Jesus doeth all things well. Only by faith we can survive our past mistakes. And in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, I see that Eve still believed, as well as a Old Testament person could. She writes or says, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man, a son." With the help of the Lord, I have a son. That shows that she did not hate God, that she did not forget about God, but that she still believed, still trusted in him. Genesis chapter 3, going back chapter, God said to the serpent, "I will put warfare between you and the woman," referring to Eve, "and all women, and between your seed, your offspring, and her seed, her offspring. Her child shall bruise your head," it means crush your head. He will defeat you, and you will only bruise his heel. I think Eve remembered those words, and she said, "The Lord has given me a son." I heard somewhere, and I tried to verify it, but couldn't, but that many or all Orthodox Jewish women believe that their son could be the Messiah. I don't know where I heard that. That their son could be the Christ, the anointed one. And it could be that Eve thought the same thing. See, we just sang here in our song, I had to write it down, "When Satan tempts me to despair," as Satan must have come to Eve saying, "You're a failure. You're the reason your one son killed your other son." Imagine the pain she felt. Abel would not have been murdered, and Cain would not have been the murderer if I didn't sin. "When Satan tempts me to despair." and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there who has made an end of all my sin. I think Eve was looking for the Messiah because God promised it to her. Moses wrote it down that your seed will crush the serpent, the one that led you into sin, the one that deceived you. Your child will crush him. Though it wasn't her child, but many, many centuries later, the child of Mary, another mother, Jesus. So moms, perhaps you've done something wrong. Maybe not to the extent of Eve. Maybe you brought disaster. I mean, she brought disaster upon her family. She brought shame into the world. But I believe she was looking to the Messiah. I will go to my father, said the prodigal son. He has the cure. So no matter what you've done in the past, our sins can be washed in the blood of Christ. And when Satan comes to tempt you to despair, look to him. Look to him. Look to his grace. The second mother is the mother of Moses, Jochebed. And we know a lot about her. We know that she did not fear the king, Pharaoh. She did not bow to his wishes, which was killing all the baby boys. We know that she put baby Moses in a basket and put him in the bulrushes in the Nile River. You've heard me tell you before how that river at that time, that century, was filled with crocodiles. The second largest category of crocodiles is found in the Nile. The first is in Australia. There are serpents, many hazards. Only by faith could she survive the thought that her baby was not in her arms, but in the river. The basket could overturn. Oh, there are so many things that could happen. And Miriam, the sister, was watching from a distance. She would not be able to stop the ferocious crocodile. But there was a greater concern that Jochebed had than crocodiles. Not the crocodiles in the Nile River, but the crocodiles in Pharaoh's house. The priests, the servants. We know Pharaoh's daughter found baby Moses. It's an Egyptian name, Moses, meant to be drawn out. So it's okay to have an Egyptian name. Some people think, well, I have to have a Christian name. No. Moses was Egyptian. She raised him for a few years and then had to turn young Moses at an early age, maybe 8, 9, or 10, over to Pharaoh's daughter. And for the remaining 30 years, the Bible says he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. This would give a godly, holy mother like Jochebed something to pray about and to believe God for. Moses was no longer under her care, but learning Egyptian philosophy, going to the temple of Isis and learning about false gods and embracing them. Yes, Moses embraced the false gods. He did not come to faith until he was 40 years old. He was an Egyptian through and through. She could not be with her son anymore. Jochebed was a slave. What could she do? She could not walk into Pharaoh's house and begin to take little Moses by the hand and instruct him. No, she had to stay in the slave quarters. She was powerless to keep the Egyptian false doctrines from the mind and heart of her child, except through a faith that prayed. That's all. Mothers, imagine for a moment you're a slave. And your child's been taken out of your arms by an atheist, homosexual pedophile. The Egyptians practice all of that. What? You're going to raise my child in your atheist, homosexual, pedophile home, and I'm not allowed anymore to teach my child the truth, you would have no power except by faith that prays that your child would survive, and only if you survive in faith will your child survive. I think of it, and we pray about it quite often in our prayer meetings, of those Pakistani Christian parents a few years ago who had their two daughters taken out of the home and put into an Islamic school. How can parents survive? There's one way. How could Jacobed survive? By faith. I'm sure those parents pray every day for their girls. But they will not forget the lessons they learned about Jesus. That Muhammad will never replace Jesus Christ. So if you have a child that's in Pharaoh's court, if you have a child that's learned evolution, humanism, and all the filthy doctrines of devils, keep praying for them. Keep believing for them. You can survive if Jacobed did. The third mother is Elizabeth, cousin to Mary. Elizabeth was given the honor to bear a son. She was barren, and his son's name was John the Baptist. We read in Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, and where she entered Zechariah's home as Elizabeth's husband and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. John the Baptist leaped in her womb. That shows you that it's not just a lump of cells, not just a clump of cells. John the Baptist knew he was in the presence of the Messiah. He leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears," said Elizabeth, "the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." What did Elizabeth have to survive? Not her giving birth, though her child, John, went out into the wilderness at a young age. But no, something she was tempted to feel, I think. That could be jealousy. Her cousin is bearing the Christ, the Messiah, when she is just bearing the messenger, John. John the Baptist was the messenger, and Jesus was the message. And I know how it can be in families. There's jealousy. Feelings of inferiority. Why couldn't I bear the Messiah? Elizabeth might have been tempted to think. Mothers, there are times when God will favor other mothers ahead of you, over you. Maybe their children will be more blessed. You can't say John was not blessed. He was. You might find other mothers have children that are greatly honored in this world, do greater things. Certainly Jesus did greater things than John the Baptist. John the Baptist's ministry just lasted a few months. Mothers are tempted to feel jealous of other mothers, of other families. And the only way that Elizabeth could resist that temptation is by faith. She felt blessed. She knew she was blessed. Matthew Henry said, if we would be angry and not sin, we must be angry at nothing but sin. And we should be more jealous for the glory of God than for any interest or reputation of our own. More jealous for the glory of God than for any interest or reputation of our own. So, mothers, if you're tempted to be jealous of what some other mother has and how well their other families are doing, look to Jesus. As the prodigal said, I will go to my Father. He will make all things well. Number four on our list, another New Testament mother by the name of Eunice, found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Eunice, daughter of Lois, mother of Timothy. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith. So where did you get the faith from? Which first lived in your grandmother, Lois. So this is also Grandmother Day, okay? It lived first in your grandmother, Lois, and then in your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. You see what faith can do? It can be passed down from one generation to the next. An inheritance. A beautiful gift to pass on to your children. But what did Eunice have to survive? The question we ask is, where was the father? The Apostle Paul mentions Timothy's grandmother and mother. The father, who the Bible says was Greek and probably a heathen, was not there. Not there to bring up Timothy. Maybe Eunice was a single mom. Or maybe her husband taught conflicting religious ideology to Timothy. He was not supportive. He was not on her side. He was an unbeliever. This is what Eunice had to survive. Maybe, mother, in your family, there's conflicting theology. Maybe the husband is not there to lend you a hand in bringing up your children in the faith. But have faith. Have faith. Keep doing your best. Don't give up. I'm going to read to you something that Lee Strobel wrote. Remember Lee Strobel? He wrote The Case for Christ. This is from a time when his wife Leslie became a Christian. And in their house, they were unequally yoked for a while. So I print this up in big letters so I could read it without my glasses. My wife Leslie and I lived a fairy tale life. Everybody wants a fairy tale life. A home in an exciting upscale neighborhood. Two beautiful children. The exhilaration and challenge of climbing the corporate ladder. Sure, we had issues to work out, though, in our marriage. But our relationship remained strong and secure. Our deep love for each other smoothed out a lot of rough edges. Then unexpectedly, something came between us. It wasn't an affair. It wasn't the resurfacing of an old flame. That someone was none other than God himself. Leslie announced one day that after a long period of searching, she had decided to become a follower of Jesus Christ. To me, this was awful news. Look, if you need that kind of crutch, I sneered at her. If you can't face life without believing in a make-believe God, then go ahead, because Lee Strobel was an atheist, sort of agnostics. But don't give me the church. Don't give the church any of our money. And don't try to get me to go anywhere on Sunday mornings. Needless to say, I wasn't making it easy for my wife to grow in her new faith. To Leslie, Christianity wasn't a crutch. It was a source of wisdom, comfort, and joy, unlike anything she had ever experienced. As for me, I wasn't sure I wanted to continue experiencing anything with my wife. I felt like a victim of bait and switch. I had married one Leslie, the fun-loving, risk-taking Leslie, and she was being transformed into someone different. I wanted the old Leslie back. Everything culminated one hot, humid day while I was mowing the lawn after another of our arguments. "That's it," I muttered as I plowed through her flower bed. Maybe you have a husband like that. "This isn't what I signed up for. Maybe it's time to think about getting out of this marriage." I considered myself an atheist, but Leslie refused to let that term define me. Instead, she tried to see me as God saw me, as a treasured part of his creation, a human being whose soul was etched with the likeness of him, a wayward son who he longed to connect with. At one point, Leslie had had enough. I had belittled her beliefs once too often. Everything within her was itching to fight sarcasm with sarcasm, to give me a dose of my own medicine. What could be more emotionally satisfying than verbally cutting me down to size? But with God's help, she resisted that impulse, realizing that retaliation would only fuel a downward spiral in our relationship. She fought the temptation to sink to my level and give me the tongue lashing that I admittedly deserved. And of course, it was the faithfulness of Leslie, Lee Strobel's wife, that led him one day to give in and give up under the influence of God's grace to surrender his life to Jesus Christ. Mothers, maybe you have an unbelieving at home, or maybe he's not at home at all. But have faith like Eunice, and you can pass that faith on to your children. And then lastly, our last mother we look at this morning, mother number 5, Rizpah, one of King Saul's wives. Not much is spoken of her today, but she leaves a beautiful legacy. For all people, especially to mothers who sorrow, who've been treated unjustly. If you haven't been treated unjustly yet, you perhaps will be. If you follow Christ, all those who live godly will suffer persecution. Rizpah had 2 sons with Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, okay, something like that. There was a famine in the land for 3 years. David sought God as to relief from the famine. And the Lord replied to David that it's because of Saul and his bloody house, because he put the Gibeonites to death. And therefore David went to the Gibeonites and said, "How can we resolve this? What should we do to make atonement for what Saul did to your people?" The Gibeonites asked for the crucifixion of 7 of Saul's sons. Crucifixion. Not in the Roman manner, but just tying them to a tree, letting them die. David granted the request. And he took 2 of Rizpah's sons, and they were killed at the beginning of harvest. And for 6 months, Rizpah moved out of her home and sat by the scene of execution up on a little hill where these 7 young men were executed, 2 of her own. And for 6 months she sat there on a piece of cloth, And she chased the birds away that would come to devour them. She chased the wild animals away that would come to devour them. Waiting for an honorable burial, which eventually came after 6 months. Here's a mother who experienced the greatest sorrow any mother could face. Her sons unjustly murdered because of the sins of their father. Now the Bible says the sons will not inherit the guilt of their father, but they can suffer from the sins of their father. And these sons did. And we never hear this woman cursing God or David, saying, "Why me? Why my sons?" No, she just kept watch over their decaying bodies in faith, knowing that someday she'd be able to bury them. And mothers, you may have terrible sorrow in your life. You may see the decay of your sons, your daughters, not physical but spiritual decay. Physical decay, yes, it happens to all of us, but you may be witnessing with your own eyes spiritual decay in your children, getting further and further away from the Lord. Stand guard, as Rizpah did. Keep the enemy away, okay, with your prayers, with your faith. And someday, they too will have a noble burial and an even more noble resurrection. Charles Spurgeon wrote about Rizpah. She bore the heats of summer and the night dews and the rains unsheltered and alone. Sleep was chased from her weeping eyes because she had to keep watch at night when most predators come out. Her heart was too full for slumber. Behold how she loved her children. Shall Rizpah thus endure, and shall we start at the first little inconvenience of trial? Are we such cowards that we cannot bear to suffer with our Lord? She chased away even the wild beasts with courage unusual for her sex. And will not we be ready to encounter every foe for Jesus? These her children were slain by other hands than hers, and yet she wept and watched. What ought we to do who have by our own sins crucified our Lord? Our obligations are boundless. Our love should be fervent and our repentance thorough. To watch with Jesus should be our business. To protect his honor, our occupation. To abide by his cross, our solace. No curses, no complaining from the mouth of Rizpah. Just diligently watching over. Sons she could not save, because their breath was gone. If your children have breath, mother, there is still hope. There is wonderful hope. Maybe you've been untreated fairly like Rizpah. Maybe your children are decaying spiritually before your eyes. But stand by them. Cover them with your prayers. Defend them, not from their wrongdoings, but defend their souls from the doer of wrong, from Satan. So here we have five mothers who had to survive. More hazardous things than a flood or a fire or even an execution. Eve survived by faith the guilt and shame that she must have felt. Jochebed survived by faith the separation from her son, young son Moses, who is in the hands of a pagan woman. Elizabeth survived temptations of feeling jealous and inferior. She was not some second-rate woman. She was blessed of God. Eunice survived, even though she was unequally yoked with an unbeliever, or had a disappearing husband or a careless husband. Maybe one who battled her every day for the soul of her son Timothy. But she survived. And Rizpah survived a mother's greatest sorrows. Remember the mothers of Bethlehem after Herod came in and killed the little boys 2 years and younger. There was great weeping in Bethlehem, Matthew tells us, but they would not be comforted. It doesn't say they could not be comforted, they would not. They refused the comfort. I believe Rizpah, being a Jewish woman, brought up in the faith, married to a man who was once humble, but who became ungodly, disobedient, I believe she too prayed to the God of comfort as she looked upon her sons. What could keep her there but the God of all comfort? What can keep us faithful but the God of all comfort? So I trust you will look to his grace. We're going to sing a beautiful hymn on page 404, Faith of Our Mothers. We're changing it from Faith of Our Fathers to Faith of Our Mothers. Can you give me a book, Dale? I don't have one. My dad used to do that growing up here in the church. Whenever it was Mother's Day, we'd sing Faith of Our Mothers. And you have to bear with me. I can't really read these words too well. I shouldn't give your glasses back. They really weren't that good, those glasses. I'm sorry, they're really not for me. But I think I know. 404. No. Kim, let me see your glasses. They may be better. Anthony's didn't work so well. Let me try yours. Let me see if these are any better. Yeah, they'll do. They'll do. Thank you. All right, let's stand together. 404, faith of our mothers, our fathers, we're changing to mothers, okay? We'll sing about faith, our fathers on Father's Day. Faith of our mothers.
Faith of our mothers, living still, in spite of dungeon fire and soul. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our mothers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till then. Faith of our mothers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee, and through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then be truly free. Faith of our fathers, mothers, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our mothers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our mothers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till.
As Peter told the wives and mothers of his day, don't try to win your husband by looking glamorous. It won't work. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Again, Father, we thank you for mothers, for all mothers. For Lord, even a pagan mother has great love in her heart for her children. But Lord, you take us beyond that. You give us your love for all people, as we sang. Love for all people. That we can have a mother's heart for all people. We pray for mothers, Lord, that they will fear the Lord, that they will continue in the faith, even though they have many obstacles to overcome. They can survive any difficulty through the grace you bestow upon them. And may your grace be bestowed abundantly upon us all today, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.